it could be better defined.
It's Flicks and That with Steve Newell.
It is Flicks and That with Steve Newell.
Oh, yes. I am here.
Thank goodness. Thank goodness for that.
You know those moments where you're like, am I here?
Yes, Steve. I know them all too well.
Is this real?
And who knows? I might have told you this already, but I did have a dream about this very segment last night. You came in to do the show and you brought up Pedro Pascal.
I've brought him up a few times, but never literally.
And he was very, very lost and alarmed to be in the BFM studio.
I mean, that's one of the modes, isn't it, in the studio, is lost and also a bit
so
alarmed.
So he fit right in.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. That is true. Hey, well, look, I'm afraid we don't have Pedro Pascal, but I have come bringing Jason Statham opinions. Not actually Jason Statham, but opinions about Jason. Jason has a... I'm calling by his first name the whole way through. So Jason...
That's your mate.
So my mate Jason has a new film that's in cinemas now, released last week, called A Working Man, in which sort of deceptively titled film, don't worry, he's not just a guy who goes to work in this film. This modern action star has just found yet another vocation to take on here. So... he's been a mechanic, he's been a farmer, he's been a diver, a driver, and a transporter. Now he's a working man, which translates in this film from David Ayer to being a construction foreman. But of course, he's a man with a past.
Well, he always is. You know,
it couldn't be an action movie without it. David Ayer made last year's The Beekeeper with Jason Statham. This is a phenomenally entertaining film.
Okay.
The Beekeeper... he was a retired government assassin, but he set out for revenge because his landlady fell victim to a phishing scam.
Stop it.
So he went to get the scammers. And what he found, sometimes you see movies where the conspiracy goes all the way to the top, and spoiler alert, this one goes all the way to the top. It also featured a fantastic South American mercenary baddie.
Fantastic.
And I'm not even going to try to do the accent because that would be wildly offensive. But in the context of this film, it's wildly entertaining.
Great. Great.
So everyone should watch The Beekeeper if you want a very OTT action film.
Yeah.
It's available on a bunch of streaming services, depending on your fancy there.
This is going to sound offensive. And I don't mean that I don't thoroughly enjoy myself every time I watch a Jason Statham movie. But they all really sound the same, don't they?
I mean, you're paying for consistency.
Yeah.
I think with
and,
Jason.
And I'll
with
take
my
it.
My mate Jason. And in A Working Man, I think this is another film directed by David Ayer. It doesn't reach the kind of ludicrously giddy heights of The Beekeeper. It's not as silly.
Okay.
It's a construction foreman, so I guess they feel the urge to make it more grounded.
And
so
relatable.
He's busy doing his construction stuff. The boss's daughter gets abducted.
Stop.
It gets a bit human trafficking-y. And
taken by?
Also, like, taken, but also, like, very low-key QAnon vibes.
Oh, my God.
And let's just, like, this isn't a blue state or a red state film. This is a red-blooded film.
Oh, okay.
Look, there's plenty to enjoy. It's possibly a little bit overlong, but David Ayer's got a couple of things he's really keen on doing, and that's he's really good at fleshing out the sort of sub-character villains. So all of the sort of mid-level henchmen that get beaten up on the way through all have really good kind of distinctive qualities to them. There's no South African mercenary this time. Sorry, that's The Beekeeper. But there's all these sort of distinct qualities to them. He also really likes tattoos. There's a lot of tattoos have a big presence in all of his films.
Like symbolically?
Most notably from Suicide Squad onwards. I think he just loves like getting his team together to hatch some good tattoo ideas.
Great.
And I'd be remiss as well for not mentioning that one of the henchmen gives off a distinct kind of Starboy vibes, if you're familiar with Aotearoa's own party pill king turned steampunk musician Starboy.
Fantastic.
Some of you out there will be picking up what I'm putting down. And I'm not putting down party pills this time.
This time.
So that's a working man. It's solid. It does the job. Like a good movie that's just a movie? Like the working man of the title gets the job done. But one interesting thing I will note about this, and maybe this speaks to kind of why it's not so heightened as, say, The Beekeeper was, it's also got Sylvester Stallone's fingerprints all over it. He's a co-writer of the script. It's based on a novel from 2014 that Stallone adapted, presumably was going to star in it himself. You can kind of see how this could work, right?
Yeah.
Like, Stallone could be a construction foreman with a secret military past.
Absolutely.
Who goes and gets a bit vigilante on it when someone close to him gets kidnapped. Kind of works. But
he relinquished the throne.
Yeah, I guess also, you know, Stallone
is... Because that would absolutely work, and I would watch
Stallone's
the hell out of that.
Stallone's in his late 70s now, so it would kind of... It'd be like how I think of Clint Eastwood, who's actually 148 now, but I think of him as if he's in his late 70s. That's a working man. So, look, Statham fans, this doesn't have the same level of group viewing entertainment that The Beekeeper does. Beekeeper's a really good film to watch at home with a few people.
Okay.
And if you're not a gang that you're not afraid to make some noise during the film with and make a few observations, maybe. A working man isn't quite as kind of OTT.
So what I'm getting is that you can run a few good bits during The Beekeeper.
Yeah, pretty much. That's it. So look, watch The Beekeeper at home. A working man's fine. Go to it at the movies or not. It's reliable, sort of 3.5-star action movie. So it's there when you need it.
And there's a place for that.
Totally. Now, also, there's a place for the White Lotus, so that place is Thailand, if you've been watching Season 3. We have just got the news this week that the season finale, which is coming on Monday night, New Zealand time, is feature length.
Oh!
Yeah,
that's an hour and a half, isn't it?
A 90-minuter.
Shit, yeah. But the past two seasons didn't have feature length.
No, this will mark the longest episode of the series to date.
Fantastic.
So plenty to look forward to come Monday. But since I was thinking about White Lotus, it also reminded me of some really great interviews that Carrie Coon has done recently. She plays Laurie in White Lotus, one of a trio of three women who are partying hard and recapturing some sparks of youth.
We love a toxic girl group.
We really do love that.
And we don't see enough
BFM
of it on TV.
We've never had any of those. So
we're just
abstracting this. But I think from our own personal lives, we've seen those from afar.
Afar.
Yeah. Now, Carrie Coon's husband, Tracy Letts, who's also an actor and very successful playwright, was talking about how she didn't return to the MCU after being in it, which...
When was she in the MCU?
Well, exactly. She wasn't in it for very long. But she was in Avengers Infinity War.
No!
And Tracy Letts says they went to her to be in the second one, and she said, quote, "Well, the first one is the most successful movie ever made. Are you going to pay me any more money?" And they said, "No, we're not going to pay you any more money," quote. So she said, "Wow, you're not going to pay me any more money? Then I don't think I'm going to do it."
Fair enough.
And they said, "Well, you should feel yourself fortunate to be part of the Marvel Universe." So she declined.
Wait, so the payment was to the fortune of being part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe?
I guess it's exposure, eh?
Yeah.
The reason this is only coming out now is that, as Tracy Letts says, "We would have made a bigger deal out of this, but it would have involved us watching the movies, and we weren't going to do that." I think he's referring to the fact that she appears in the second film that doesn't have any lines, so like the character's visible anyway. "But it would have involved us watching the movies,
which they weren't about to start
doing.
And we weren't
going to do that."
Oh, savage. Fair enough.
She's also had some really great interviews of her own. I'm not just going to talk about her in the words of her husband. She's reacted to rumours about her marriage being open by saying, "Settle down, internet." she was on Marc Maron's podcast, and when you sort of think about those 8 months they spent in Thailand, this comment makes a bit more sense of how you get through it. She talks about how they can talk about everything in their marriage, including stuff like, who are you attracted to on set?
Oh, my goodness.
Because it's good to know, like, who you're crushing on at work. And if you're stuck in Thailand for 8 months,
yeah,
maybe there's...
Did she spell?
There's a couple. She does not spell.
Oh, Carrie. I want to know so bad.
Mark Maron asked her, but it doesn't ever go over the line? We don't really like lines, Kuhn replied. I think that's probably contextual. You can read into that what you want. But yes, yeah, so she said, settle down, internet. I said open-minded, not open.
My goodness.
So everyone trying to message her now, just settle down.
God, she's Carrie really Kuhn. Got this press junket on a tight leash.
Yeah, because she's also mentioned that there was a small sort of subplot from the show truncated because of Trump.
Yes, I saw that about how she was meant to have a trans child.
Yes, I think either her or her or one of the other. Anyway, they just sort of
someone was meant to have a trans child.
That's right. I think she was meant to have a trans child, and her friend says she voted for Trump. And I believe that this is a case of removing that because it would, it's not because they're chicken shits. It's because that would make the character too unlikable, given how things are going now, or how things were seen to be going back when they shot the show.
Right.
If one character had a trans child and their very best friend supported a bigot.
Yeah.
Voted for a bigot. So, anyway. Carrie Kuhn, she rules. Apart from Marvel movies, she's usually a pretty good indicator that the thing that she's in is well worth watching. If you haven't seen The Nest, starring Carrie Kuhn and Jude Law, it's a fantastic UK set drama that's worth checking out. It's about a family that moves to a kind of a dilapidated big mansion that's a little bit beyond their ability to afford. I think it's set in the 80s. And the whole thing's kind of shot like a horror film. So it's a drama about the pressures of a marriage and family life and career and money.
That's quite cool.
But it's got real creepy overtones to the whole thing that never quite spill out into the open.
Ooh, subversive.
Yeah, so watch The Nest. Watch the finale of The White Lotus
on Monday.
Watch The Beekeeper with some pals. Get in the zone for this one and have a laugh together. Do some appropriately accurate South African accents while watching it. And as far as a working man goes, it's a average addition to Statham's filmography.
Fantastic.
Worth a watch.
It has its
place. I think
we can
figure out where it sits in the queue of the things we're talking about today.
Fantastic. Well, thank you, Steve.
That's Flicks, and that's also that.
Not only Flicks, but it's that.
Real auteurs use star wipes.
That was Flicks and That on 95BFM.